This is episode 2467 of the Daily Meditation Podcast. I'm Mary Meckley, and welcome to a brand new series this week. This week, you are in for a treat because I interviewed a fellow meditator, Sarah Royal, who is from Liverpool in the UK. She is a dance instructor, and she owns her own dance studio where she empowers young dancers, mostly young girls, but also some young men, to believe in themselves, to be their best. She is such an inspirational person, and I'm excited to share our interview together. The theme for this week is going to be believe in yourself, self-confidence. And I'm sure you'll gather that this is what Sarah is all about as she inspires others, and also as she had to overcome her own anxiety to feel more confident, and how she had a very powerful supporter to help her do this, and what she's doing to share meditation to help young people in particular manage their anxiety. As you'll hear Sarah share in the interview, you never really know what people are going through. So that is your quest this week, to think about what other people are going through when you notice that they're moody or angry, maybe even if they lash out at you. So the quest for this week is to every day consciously cultivate compassion for people who you see are struggling around you, even if it's in regards to somebody who is perhaps difficult in your life. Consider what they may be going through. Sarah also recommends a book that you can purchase, and I'll be sharing insight and quotes throughout the week from this book. It is The Things You Can See Only When You Slow Down. And this is by Haman Sunim. And I'll leave that in the show notes. You'll see that. So as you're guided through this week's series, the focus will be on feeling confident and empowered, and perhaps empowering others along the way, and by focusing more on compassion. So I'll introduce you to Miss Sarah Royal, who has owned her own dance studio in Liverpool for 10 years. She has her own podcast that she started in the pandemic to make sure that she could still reach out to her students. It's called Diary of a Dance Teacher Podcast. And you'll hear a little bit more about how Sarah has made it a focus in her life to inspire others. So without further ado, enjoy the interview. Sarah, welcome.
Hi, Mary. How are you?
I am fine. I would love for you to share with your fellow meditators what you're doing, because what you do is really powerful and really important, especially these days.
So I've got my own dance school in Liverpool in the UK. And well, I live in Liverpool, but my dance studio is in Warrington. It's been running now for 10 years. And I decided in the pandemic, after a bit of a meltdown, that I would start a podcast as we moved everything online. Obviously, everyone's been at home, spending a lot more time at home. So I thought, start a podcast and introduce some guests, some influential choreographers, to talk about how they cope with the dance industry and nerves. And in season three, I decided to introduce a lot of different, well, everything that I've been researching throughout the pandemic about meditation, about breathing, journaling. And then I come across your podcast last November when I moved to Liverpool. And I was like, oh, this woman, your calming tones. So, and then I messaged Mary and I was like, do you want to come on the podcast? So you've been a massive influence in my meditation journey as I started meditating a couple of years ago. But as the pandemic happened last April, I really started meditating a lot more because I found it helped me cope with a lot of stress, because we're all stressed at the minute. There's a lot of the unknown in the atmosphere. And obviously working with children, if you meditate and you have that calmness, it does, well, I'm hoping it does give off my high vibes and my calmness to them, to help them understand that stressing doesn't really help anything. And it just gets you in a bit of a, oh, I can't do that step, I can't do this one. And it does, it creates a chain or a pattern and you just become overwhelmed. So I really wanted to explain it more and introduce it into our talks that we do, because we do Let's Talk for Mental Health as well. And we just meditated last week for the first time together, which was really nice.
That's awesome. Well, I really listened to your podcast a few weeks ago. I kind of binge listened to it, and because I was so impressed with how well you inspire young, especially young women. I know you do have male dancers as well, but you really address this young audience in such a positive way. So you're already sharing your piece. You're already sharing so much inspiration. And I also love your Instagram feed because you highlight the different dancers and you can just see them there in their homes and they're practicing some steps and you give them competitions and some people got some awards. And I thought, wow, you know, if I was young, a young child living in my home during the pandemic, and I had a dance teacher offering these challenges and these ways to continue to improve, I just think that that would have been so important to me during this time when, you know, people are on lockdown. So I commend you for all you're doing.
Well, thank you. That's really lovely to hear that it's having positive effects on obviously young women, and I think a lot of the dance mums listen as well, because I just think you can learn so much by listening, especially now that we are spending so much time at home. I feel like I know so little and I want to know so much more, and I think learning from podcasts are the best way to learn. When you're going out for a walk, just stick your earphones in. When you're at the gym, and I feel like the younger generation are just going to be so positively influenced in many ways. And I'm hoping that my podcast does help them, because they do worry. And understandably, it's a scary time, isn't it? But there is a lot more help now than there was when I was, say, 18, because I had a bit of when I left university, I didn't really know what I was going to do. And I remember going through a really hard time, and I didn't understand that it was anxiety that I was going through, because there was no help. There was no Instagram, podcasts. So this is why I'm doing it, to help young people, because I needed help back then and no one really knew what to do. So
it's so true. Yeah. And that's why what you're doing is so valuable. It's you're giving people options on how to spend their time, what to think. I really love your challenges or your competitions that you share with your dancers. And they're such great dancers too. You're doing a wonderful job.
Thank you. They are really good. They're just lovely kids, all of them. And we're like a little family unit. So it has been hard for them to be away from me, and equally me to be away from them, because I haven't got children of my own yet. And you do get attached to these gorgeous little kids that I've grown up a lot since I've met some of my 15-year-olds. They were 5 when I was teaching them, and I've just watched them grow into these amazing, intelligent, talented human beings. And being away from them, it's been really hard for me. I've really, really missed them. And I definitely know that going back to work, it is my purpose to be a dance teacher. And I want to be much more than just a dance teacher. I want to be like a role model and help them and guide them and just be there for them even when they do leave. So I'm very lucky, I suppose.
It's beautiful. And it you are so fortunate to know what you want and to expand your platform, because running a dance school is, I'm sure you wear many hats, and yet you started a podcast during the pandemic. That's what I found so incredible. And you became super active on your Instagram. Just, you could see your heart poured into your work. Okay, there's a pandemic. Well, we can still do this, or we can still do this. And well, I'll do a podcast too that would reach them. And your topics are so timely for this audience, this young audience that you have. So I really appreciate it. Please tell me the name of your dance studio.
So it's just my name, Sarah Royal School of Dance. So you can find us on Instagram if you want to have a little sneaky peek.
It's very inspirational. Yeah, especially if you have children, they would really enjoy seeing what other people are doing there. Well, let me ask you a little about your day-to-day life and how you incorporate meditation and maybe some of the meditation techniques to help you manage stress.
Okay, so it is owning your own business. If people are listening that have their own businesses, it can be quite consuming and quite lonely at times, because you do spend a lot of time together. So I feel like you are very much independent, but sometimes too independent. And I think before the pandemic, I used to get so in my own head about work and what people thought and what people said, and oh, what if this review goes on here? And now I'm like, actually, the worst thing has happened. A pandemic, one of the worst things. Everyone around me luckily is healthy. I've got a great support network with the dance mums, with the kids, with my friends and family. And I think it really has helped me go, actually, let's just take a step back. And as you said, slow down. I love that slogan as well. It's just it's genius, Mary, because we are just so busy in real life and in our heads as well. And we do just need to go, actually, why am I stressed about that? And you can't please everyone in a business. Sometimes if 99 people are pleased and then you've got one parent that's angry at you, that's okay. You can't please everyone. And I think that's what I've found as well, the older that I get and implementing meditation to my daily routine. So I like to meditate first thing in the morning. I just roll out of bed and just have a 10-minute meditation. And then I really enjoy a 20-minute meditation before I go to bed, when I'm completely, the day's been done. And you know, when you're a little bit tired and you're ready to wind down, I really enjoy doing that as well. After a really busy day of going to the dance studio, I'm speaking to all the staff, because I've got quite a lot of staff as well to manage, and obviously answering emails. Like I said, it can be quite overwhelming sometimes. And at the end of the day, you just need to go, whew.
Oh, yeah, I can't. You do have quite a lot of staff. I really enjoy your website. It's so beautiful. You have so many resources there. And I was surprised by how many teachers you have. You do manage a lot of people. How many people do you manage?
There's 5 staff members, but they're all amazing, to be honest. They're really like self-sufficient, independent women, you know, like they're always there with a great response. You know, I've already done that, Sarah. And I would also like to just shout out to she's my best friend as well as my admin lady, Ashley. She's the one that puts the website together, and she organizes a lot of what's going on in my head. So I type everything out and she helps. And she organizes it she helps me put newsletters together. So delegating is another part of running a business. I used to just be like, I can take on every last bit of stress. I can do it all myself. But you can't. you can't at all. And I think, again, slowing down and reflecting through meditation, mm-hmm. you realize that you can't do everything. It's physically impossible, and have like a happy life at the same time and have a social life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. It's so true. Mm-hmm. So I would love to ask you, what really prompted you to meditate? Was it the pandemic, or when was the moment where you thought, I really should seriously meditate?
There's quite a big, so where I live now, there's quite a big sort of, I'd say, like, wellness movement in Liverpool. So a lot of people are like vegan, and everyone likes yoga, and around where I live, there's a big park. So I feel like it is quite a big culture thing. It's come to light in the past, I'd say, 5 years. And I've been to Bali. Luckily, I've been 3 times, and it's my favorite holiday, I know. So that's when I found meditation and Buddhism, and my best friend bought me this book called it's by Haman Sunim, and it's called The Things You See When You Slow Down, and it's by a Buddhist monk, and he basically just describes in little poems of how to rationalize thought patterns, and they're just really just simple things that you just go, oh yeah, that's really true. Why do we stress about this? Or just have a hot bath instead of, you know, going on a run, or just relax. And I think going to Bali, the culture over there, it's very relaxed, and it's all about community as well, which I really like. I met this guy last time I went. So I went in 2019, and I was poorly. And he drove me. He was one of the receptionists. He drove me to the doctors, and he waited with me for hours. He was so kind. And I was asking him loads of questions. And I was like, how do you pray then in your religion? And he said, well, when we pray for the community. We never pray for ourselves. And I was just like, that is just gorgeous, isn't it? And I wish that... Yeah, it's just really just a kind way of thinking that you're not putting yourself first. You're thinking about the community and what would benefit the community, and everything's very much celebrated over there. And it is very, very kind community. So that was what shifted my mindset, reading that book, going to Bali, seeing how the gorgeous people live over there. It really inspired me to start meditating. And so, yeah.
Well, I would love to write down the name of that book, because maybe, is that a book that you would recommend to the fellow meditators? Yeah. And then we could follow along with passages from that book. Maybe some of your favorite passages each day we could reflect on one, focus on one. So please tell me again the name of the book.
It's by Haman Sunim, and it's called The Things, let me just double check. I think it's called The Things You See When You Slow Down. And he's got another book as well. Let me just double check.
His last name, how do you spell it?
So it's Haman, and then Sunim is Sunim. And it's The Things You Can See Only When You Slow Down.
Wow.
That's his first book. And the second book is Love for Imperfect Things.
Wow. Okay. Mm-hmm. Perfect. Mm-hmm. We'll definitely share that. Well, you did give a shout out to your, sounds like, right-hand person who helps you a lot in your business. Is there anyone else you'd like to give a shout out to?
Yes, please. I would love to give a shout out to my amazing mum, Jeanette, who is my rock. She's the most inspiring, strong, but sensitive woman. She's just always there for me all the time. If I've ever got a problem or anything, and this is what I say to the kids as well, don't bottle it up. Talk to your mum. That's why they're there. Communication. Let's get rid of this communication boundary where people just bottle up everything. Mm-hmm. Talk to your mum. That's why she's there. And you build an even better relationship with your mum then. She is just like my best friend. She's dead young at heart. She's dead funny. She's dead fun. So yeah, she's the most, she's just brilliant. So I'd like to say hi, Mom.
Oh, so tell me some things that she did throughout your life that really make a difference for you right now today.
Well, she went to school and she left school with some qualifications, which, you know, she said that she didn't, she just sort of got by in school and she wasn't very studious. She didn't really know what she was going to do. And then she left school. She didn't go to college. She went straight to work. And then she met my dad when she was really young. They were like childhood sweethearts. They got married, had me and Daniel just before she was 30, and she didn't work. She was a stay-at-home mum for 8 years, and then she went to work with pretty much no qualifications, and she just worked her way up throughout each job. And she's in the most fantastic job now. She's 64, and she works for this huge company. She's an operations manager, and she just she goes on Teams, and she's like the only woman of like 50 men. And she's just dead inspiring, you know, from yeah. And she honestly, she makes me think that you can do anything.
Yeah.
And that's basically what the message that I say to the kids as well. You can do anything. If you work hard enough and you set your mind to something, anything is possible within reason. Yeah. Maybe not that small, but I don't know.
Yeah, that's a great message. And it's great to hear that, yeah, during these times, I think, because I think we feel a little stuck sometimes and like we're waiting with our life on hold a little bit in some cases for things to get back to normal. But really, there's so much, many people have really thrived, including yourself, during these times. So, yeah. Oh, that's so important to have support, to have someone in your corner, even if you don't get along with your family or whatnot. There's still so many outside influences. I think it's so important to have a mentor. Most people I know who are successful, and by success, I mean they're happy and they're healthy and they also are doing something they love for work. These people, I notice there's a common thread. They have an amazing mentor, someone in their life who really supports them. So that's beautiful. Let me ask you, where is your favorite place to meditate? We are now on our own round. So I really enjoyed hearing your story and what you're up to, what you're doing. So these are just little things about you that other meditators may, you might spark inspiration with them hearing about your routine.
So fortunately, I moved house during the last lockdown into this from a flat. So I've moved into a house now with a garden. So downstairs, it's really bright downstairs and it overlooks our little garden. And I don't think you appreciate a garden unless you've not had one for the past 7 years. And I just love sitting on my little mats, just looking out at the garden. And it's a bit of a mess at the minute because I'm not a domestic queen. And I'm a terrible gardener. But just looking out to the green and just a little garden, that is my favorite place to meditate. I'm just feeling really fortunate about that.
That's great. How about your favorite meditation technique?
I like the four counts in, hold it for four counts, and then release for four counts. And I also like the alternate nostril, you know, breathing where you hold your nostril.
Yeah, that's great. Your breathing techniques are so powerful. So, and then the book you recommended, we have, and I'll share that also in the show notes for this episode. What is the best way that listeners can reach you?
So I have an Instagram page, like I said earlier. So it's Sarah Royal School of Dance. So you can check out our Instagram, and the podcast is called Diary of a Dance Teacher. And that's on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts. I think it's on quite a lot actually, where you can listen. And We've got a website, so that's again sarahroyalschoolofdance.co.uk. I feel like I'm selling my brand here.
It's because it's so interesting to see, you know, and meet other meditators. That's why I'm wanting to do this, is to
it's really helpful. It is, like, when I listen to what you talk about, it's just other people, other normal people that are just listening and going through similar things. I remember you saying once about a young, he was probably about early 20s, and he worked with children with disabilities, and he said how he was missing them throughout the pandemic. I'm sure that was what you said. And you know, he was struggling, so he started meditating, and it really started to help him, and because he was missing, like, his job and his purpose, and that really touched me. And he was only early 20s.
I know, it really inspires me to you know, meet the other meditators, and we feel connected, and doing meditation is something really special. So so I'm so happy you're here on this interview. Well, let me ask you, what is something small that you feel everyone could do to make the world a better place?
Okay, so let's see. I did write this one down because I was like, oh.
Some of them are a little tough, yeah. Yeah, our the first half of our conversation was very natural. We just talked, but some of these questions I provide the people being interviewed in advance, just so you can prepare a little. So that's what Sarah, and I just mailed Sarah hers this morning, so she didn't have a lot of preparation.
Okay, Monday's a sort of my day off, so don't worry, it's my Zen day today. So I've put to make the world a better place, think of other people, as so many people are silently suffering and we have no idea because everyone's putting that poker face on. So if someone does snap at you or they don't smile at you, I say this to the kids, like, people are going through a lot that you would never realize, and just be a little bit mindful of that. That I think I used to definitely take everything very personally, and Mum always used to say, if you don't like someone, Sarah, you can see it. It's written all over your face. You need to stop it. And she was very right. I was a stroppy teenager. So now I think being older, I understand a lot more. But if I knew that when I was 18 to say 25, I used to just attack, and now I'm just like, do you know what, you just don't know what's going on at home or what's going on in someone's job or in someone's mind. But I think that's definitely what would make the world a better place. I think
it is. That's a very important point. It really is. It's these small things, but they're big things, and they're hard to do too. So what legacy do you want to leave?
That was a really tough one as well. I was like, oh, I just want my dance skills to carry on forevermore. So when I have kids, they can take over my dance school. And my dream is, so the kids that I teach now, I would love them to come back and teach when they're older and they've performed, because I just love them. They're just brilliant kids, and I would love nothing more than to see them doing something that they absolutely love, and then to come back and to, obviously, if that's what they want to do, to teach the younger kids then. That would be my dream, I think.
That's beautiful. And you're already leaving a legacy. Isn't that amazing? Because you've already helped so many people, and they are carrying on. And I remember you had an interview with someone who had been with you for a while and then went to New York, and they were doing another type of dance, but they still remembered and carried on from what you taught them. So that's great. Yeah. And is there a cause to which you'd like to give a shout out, some special cause?
Yeah, so in the pandemic as well, I did a booklet. So it was like, it's called the Healthy Dancer Booklet. And I've put in, you know, methods, strategies, why meditation is so good, all the bullet points about journaling, about writing down your feelings. And I sold it and gave 20% of it to the charity Childline. So we've raised £55 so far.
Good. That's great. So is this booklet, because I saw that and I was thinking, oh, I want it. It just looked so nice. Would it be for all ages or?
Yeah, I've made it so it's got little journaling prompts in there. And I wanted to print it off as a book, but because we've gone back to work, it's just gone a little bit too busy. But I would really like to print the booklets off and give it to the kids so they can just write in the booklet. Because a lot of the children from the dance school, their photos are in the booklet, you know, in dance positions, because we had photo shoots done. So it's nice for them to look back on as well, like, oh, I remember when I did that dance shoot, and, you know, to look back on what they wrote during the pandemic.
That's
raising money for charity.
That's fantastic. Well, I want to thank you so much, Sarah, for being here with us, and to just encourage you to continue doing all you're already doing. And I'll leave in the show notes where the meditators can reach you, of course, at Sarah Royal School of Ballet on your Instagram, and also .com for your Facebook and your podcast too. And your podcast is The Diary of a Dancer.
Yes. Dance Teacher.
Yeah. The Diary of a Dance Teacher podcast. Yes. And is there anything else that you'd like to share that maybe I didn't ask you that you wanted to share?
No, I'd just like to reciprocate that you help me in massive ways. So many different, the journaling prompts that you give. And I love as well that you don't just go, okay, we're going to meditate now. You talk about how different herbs and teas help, and just different strategies of where you can meditate. And I love the sunset meditations that you do as well. You're really knowledgeable, Mary. I can't describe how much you help me, and you help me learn more and more each time I listen to the Sip and Om app meditations. So thank you very much.
Thank you for listening. I appreciate that. For the meditators on the podcast, I mentioned more herbs and teas, in case you're wondering. You haven't mentioned that on the podcast. Maybe I should mention that more on the podcast. But I mentioned that often on the app. But I just want to thank you for listening and for being here with us. And now, if I could invite you to share with your fellow meditators what I say at the very end of every episode, that would be great.
You are so worth slowing down for.
Thank you. It was such a pleasure. It was so much fun. And I wish you the best.
Mary. Thanks, Mary. Take care. Bye.
You enjoyed Sarah? Again, you can find her on her Instagram page, which is such an inspiration, especially if you know some younger people who could use a boost of confidence. And it is Sarah Royal School of Dance, SarahRoyale School of Dance. And you can also listen to her podcast at Diary of a Dance Teacher podcast. And her website is sarahroyalschoolofdance.co.uk. I invite you now to settle yourself down and do a meditation. Maybe you could commit to meditating for 10 minutes in the morning, as Sarah does, and 20 minutes before you go to bed. As always, you are so worth slowing down for.